Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Do something good today.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. We've been talking about different rare diseases. Last week we covered epidermolysis bullosa, and I have another little warrior, and his name is Gavin Silvestri, and he has lymphatic malformation, and I wanted to talk to his mom, Victoria, about this and learn more about LM. She's on the line with me right now. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Victoria.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You are bringing awareness to LM through your son, Gavin. I know that he's a blessing to you and your husband, Joe, who happens to be a coach. Tell us about Gavin.
So Gavin was born, well, we'll start with when he was diagnosed. He was diagnosed when I was 18 weeks pregnant during our anatomy scan. They found something that looked a little abnormal. It looked like a growth that was under his chin. I said, we don't know exactly what it is, but we have an idea. It could be lymphatic malformation, or it could be a cystic hygroma, which is basically the same thing. They just called it something different back then. So immediately she wanted to do genetic testing, because a lot of times LM is linked with genetic abnormalities. They did an amniocentesis. She did all of the genetic screenings that she could, and everything came back negative. So that was a good thing. From 18 weeks for the rest of my pregnancy, I went to, you know, my normal OB, and then I also had my specialist, and she was the one that would kind of measure the mass growth and him. And what she told me was, think of it as two different things. As long as he is growing, everything is fine. His organs, his bones, his weight gain, and everything else is growing as it should be, then we're treating the mass as something completely different, which kind of put my mind at ease, knowing that it wasn't affecting him as much as I thought it was. That's his birth journey. And then when he was born a month early. He was supposed to be due on March 1st. And he came on February 1st, which was a fun experience. You know, we always had a plan. The doctors had a plan. They knew exactly what they wanted to do, how they wanted to deliver him. And they wanted to deliver him with what is called an exit procedure. So they intubated him before he was fully delivered. So as soon as his head was out of my stomach, they intubated him, because they didn't know what his airway was, if it was secure or if it was crushed. So they wanted to make sure he was able to breathe. Since you mentioned, my husband does coach women's basketball for college, and we were in Miami at the time, so he coached at FIU. He travels a lot, so he was with the team on a road game. So he left that morning, and I went to both my doctor's appointments, and on my way home, I was having contractions. And I was like, we were a week away from his scheduled delivery. He was scheduled to be delivered on the 8th of February. I was like, they're not going to stop my contractions. So I called him. I said, you need to get on a flight home as soon as possible. So I had my mother-in-law drive me to the hospital. They checked me. I was ready to go. So, you know, of course, they call my doctor. They call everybody in. Needless to say, my water broke like 30 minutes later. So my husband didn't make it. My mom was living about 5 hours away, so she had to drive. And that was the crazy experience. You know, he was born C-section. So when I went into the delivery room, or the operating room, I should say, there was like 30 doctors in there, each in their own, I don't know, it was like I was in a different world. Like I was in my own bubble and everyone is just talking about me while I'm laying on this table with all the lights shining in my face. And they all had their job. They all knew exactly what they needed to do. And what was really cool was the nurse that was in there took my phone and she FaceTimed my husband while he was on the airplane when Gavin was being delivered. So that was pretty cool. He did get to see him come out.
That's great.
He did let out a cry, so he was breathing. But, of course, they had to intubate him for security. And then after that, he was transported to Nicholas Children's Hospital, and he was there for 7 months. So we lived our life in the NICU for 7 months, going through treatments and surgeries and everything to just get him, you know, well enough to come home. Since we've been home, I wouldn't say it's been a breeze, but we learned so much in the hospital on how to care for him. I'm one of those hands-on moms where any opportunity to learn to do something for him, like with his G-tube, with his trach, you know, I want to know how to do it. I don't want to have to depend on somebody else to do it. I don't know. I made my husband be that way too. He was never really he would get kind of, you know, grossed out with stuff in the delivery room. My brother wanted to be delivering his son, and my husband was like, no, I want to be up at the top. I don't want to see anything. So
everybody's different. You know, he didn't go to school to be a nurse. He went to school to be a coach, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's really, really good with that. And, you know, if I know how to do something, I teach him how to do it. And we are a team. So if I'm not home to do something, he knows how to do it. So that's what it was all about. It was all about teamwork. We've been together since high school. So we've been through, you know, the high school stage, the college stage, and we know each other like the back of our hands. So I don't know, maybe that plays a role in how we are with Gavin. But during our stay in the NICU, I just felt like that was a whole nother world that people didn't know about. And so I created his Instagram. Well, I created a journal. I started journaling for Gavin, and it was called Gavin's Medical Adventure. And then I was like, why am I writing all this in a journal when we have social media and we have stuff where I can document with pictures and I can share it with the world that way? So that's when I created his Instagram. And I kind of just wanted to shed light on the life of the NICU. And at that time, I had a lot of, you know, friends on my feed that had new babies. And it's so funny because what we take for granted as like a normal, quote unquote, normal child, like they're crying in the middle of the night, they're need to get up to feed, change their diaper, this and that. Well, Gavin was intubated, so we didn't hear his cry. He didn't have a voice for a very, very long time. He's just now starting to, you know, produce sounds, like he's finding his voice. Just wanted to shed light on the fact that not everybody has that, you know, Cinderella birth story, and to kind of not normalize it, but shed light on it. And I did want to kind of normalize differences because Gavin looks different. And that it's okay to ask questions. I know curiosity, kids are the most curious. It's so funny. I was at my mom's this past weekend, and we, you know, they have a community pool, so we went to the pool, and there's kids, and they're staring at him, and one kid kind of giggled. I said, oh, his cheeks are big, aren't they? He goes, yeah, they're funny. So, you know, they're just curious. They don't know. He looks different. So, I don't know. I feel like it's our jobs as parents to educate our kids on just that not everybody has to look a certain way for them to be normal, because in every other way, Gavin is completely normal.
I've touched on this last week, like I said, with epidermolysis bullosa, a little girl down in Hamilton, Alabama. I say little girl, she's 13, and the thing that she has to deal with are blisters and scars all over her body. And so as a teenager, you can imagine how she's treated at school. Absolutely. At times when kids don't understand or don't look, don't stare. And we've touched on this subject many times about the differences that we have and being able to accept those differences so that each one of us as a community can come together and allow people who are different, per se, from us to be a part of said community.
Absolutely. And to just be kind. You don't even have to be their friend. Just be kind. Don't talk about them. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Show that you're curious. Educate yourself. You know, things like that. Educate others. Hey, did you hear about this? And get to know them before you start judging. You know, obviously, not everybody's going to like you. That's life. You know, I tell my nieces and nephews that, and they're quote unquote normal. So, and they're in, I have one in middle school and two in elementary school. So, and I was, like I said, I was at my family's house this weekend, and they were telling me about how their kids are being bullied. And I'm like, oh my, like, I'm dreading that time when he is in school. 'Cause if they're quote unquote normal and they're being bullied, like, I can't even imagine. And I keep telling myself I have to raise Gavin to know that there are going to be people out there that don't understand, and they don't have the education and the parents that teach them about differences. And so they just don't understand.
Cross
that bridge when we get there. But I have to just keep telling myself that and teach him to think that way, so that when somebody does say something mean, that it just goes right through one ear and out the other. Now, I'm sure it's going to hurt, because even on his Instagram, I get plenty of nasty messages, and like, my mind is just blown because he's a child. And I'm like, how are you saying such mean things about a child that you don't know, you've never met? Like, it just blows my mind. So there are times when I just, you know, delete it, and I'll read it and delete it.
Right.
Sometimes to get my frustrations out, I'll type out my message and not send it. I'll just delete it.
Right.
But to get out my frustrations, you know, because I don't like to be that type of person, and I don't want Gavin to be that type of person to spread, you know, being mean. So I want everybody to be accepted, and I have learned how to react to those situations. So some of the messages that I receive, you know, I will just kind of throw education at them instead of how dare you, da 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 da. You know, I will just teach them about it. So hopefully something sticks. And then, you know, you have those ignorant people that just don't care and just want to be mean. But that's my goal with Gavin, is just to be as normal as we possibly can in our life.
Well, you know, Victoria, that hurting people have a propensity to hurt other people. And it's not to say that all hurting people do that, but if somebody's had troubles in their own life and they have their own difficulties and they vent at other people and make other people feel bad because they feel bad. And thankfully, there's thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, I say, to every one person that is like that. But the fact is, Victoria, when we see those negative messages, they stand out like a sore thumb, and you could have 1,000 positive messages and one negative, and it affects your whole day.
And that's so true, because, like I said, I can get like hundreds of messages in one day with his Instagram. And, you know, I would say 100% of them throughout the day are good. And then, like, throughout the week, I'll get, like, one. So compare 100 a day to maybe that one for the whole week.
Absolutely.
It's true, though. You're right. Yes. So I'm glad. And it was surprising to me to see so many kind people out there. And he has people from all over the world following him. So it's really cool to know that I've reached so many people teaching about lymphatic malformation. And I can kind of touch on that as well. With what exactly lymphatic malformation is.
And I want to do that when we come back from a break. Can we do that?
Okay, absolutely.
So Victoria Silvestri is on the line with me right now. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about her son Gavin, Gavin's medical adventure on Instagram. This little guy is a lovable, adorable kid, and we're talking about this malformation. It's nickname LM. We're talking about lymphatic malformation. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this subject and also talk about bringing awareness to families who are going through NICU units. As many of you know, I have partnered with Project Sweet Peas here in Alabama. And Project Sweet Peas is a national organization that tries to help these families that are in the NICU. And we'll talk a little bit about Nicholas Children's Hospital as well, because I know that they took great care of Gavin. When we come back, we'll continue to talk Victoria Silvestri. I hope you'll stick with me. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
Friendly smile's a tiny price to pay. Let's all do something good today. A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Are you in Alabama and need questions answered by a medical professional? If so, my friends at Trinity Medical Care are proud to announce that they are offering telemedicine. With telemedicine, you can stay at home and still have your visit with the doctor. Telemedicine from Trinity Medical Care is now available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your telemedicine appointment today by calling 256-489-3192. That number again, 256-489-3192. You can also follow Trinity Medical Care on Facebook. Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call. Located in the Foodland Shopping Center at 16041 Highway 72 in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama. Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. And one smile can make a difference. Na 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 na. Someone loves you, I do.
To the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away. Cause there's a blue-eyed kid on second base, wants dad to watch him play. Daddy knows he's waiting.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. In the last segment, we were talking to Victoria Silvestri in Jacksonville, Florida, and we were talking about her son, Gavin, who has lymphatic malformation, and we were sharing about LM, learning about this particular malformation and bringing awareness to it, and also talking about being in the NICU and what those parents go through and the experience that they have, and understanding that everybody's birth situation is not the same. It is important that we do understand what the families go through in the NICU to try to help them where we can, and then also talk more about LM awareness. Welcome back to The Mark White Show, Victoria.
Thank you for having me. I'm so amazing to be spreading awareness.
Oh, I'm glad that you can, and you are doing a great job, and I appreciate the fact that you have shared Gavin with the world. to find out more about lymphatic malformation. Let's talk a little bit more about LM. In the first segment, you wanted to share more about this particular subject.
Sure. So lymphatic malformation is basically a clump of lymph vessels that form they grow jumbled into like a spongy cluster. So, and they're masses, but they're benign. They grow because their lymph, which is the fluid produced by the lymphatic system, cannot drain well. So that causes the swelling that you see in his cheeks. They also grow because they contain fragile malformed veins in their walls that bleed easily. So LMs can fill with blood. So sometimes on Gavin's pictures, you can see what looks like bruising, but that's actually blood. The lymph-filled fluid or blood stretch the vessels, making the LM grow larger. And of course, this can make the skin look bruised if it's close to the skin surface. So when the LMs grow, they put pressure on organs. In this case, his trachea was the organ in question. So that's why they intubated him and why he has a trach. The most common are in the head and neck area. So I've seen, and parents have reached out to me where their LMs are some in their leg, sometimes it's in like their armpit area. So it is definitely not just a facial malformation. It can be anywhere where there's lymph vessels. So there's two types. There's microcystic and there's macrocystic. So the difference between those are there's big cysts and there's little cysts. Gavin has both. So he's got a combination. Obviously, there's speaking, breathing, swallowing, and feeding problems that go along with lymphatic malformation, depending on what area it is affected. So in this case with Gavin, he had a trach and he was intubated, so they put a G-tube in for him to feed in the NICU, and also a trachea for him to breathe. Causes are... really, it's really developed from early in pregnancy. The doctors don't know why, so there's still no known cause. They are more common in Down syndrome, Turner syndrome, and Noonan syndrome. And Gavin has no genetic mutations or abnormalities, so his was more rare because of that.
Sure.
There are different kinds of treatments, and Gavin has had sclerotherapy, which is when they go in and inject the cyst with the medicine that kills the cells that line the cyst that produce that fluid. So he's had multiple, I want to say like 50, 60 treatments of the sclerotherapy while he was in the NICU. He had it from day 5 to 3 months old, and it was 5 days a week. He would have this type of therapy. So they were very aggressive with his treatment in Nicholas Children's Hospital. There's also surgery. He did have a surgery. It's called the debulking. So after they treat those cysts, it kind of kills it and creates necrotic tissue. So they had to go in and kind of clean up what they killed. And also there's medication. So Gavin's on a medication called sirolimus, which is basically a chemo med, and it works just as if chemo would. And it kills the cyst from within. So it does weaken his immune system, which is kind of scary with what's going on in the world nowadays. And then there's also laser therapy. Living with LM, I mean, Gavin will still live a normal life. He's definitely going to face challenges. And like I mentioned earlier, as parents, we just have to do whatever we can to make our kids feel comfortable in their own skin. And I think that's, worldwide, everybody should be doing that and teaching them about the differences of other children and things like that. So it's definitely our duty to teach them to be confident despite the ignorance of others.
I know that it's been close to 2.5 years now since Gavin was born. And as you mentioned, y'all were at Nicholas Children's Hospital. Talk a little bit about your experience there at the hospital and the staff and how you were treated there at Nicholas.
Nicholas Children's Hospital was amazing. I cannot brag enough about it. Spending 7 months there, that was our home. We lived there. Thankfully, the NICU has this amazing unit where we had our own room inside his room. So we had a bed, we had a couch, we had our closet, we had a bathroom. So we did. We lived there. And the nurses, the doctors, I cannot rave enough about them. They were, it's hard being a nurse. And then it's like, you have, not only do you have to deal with the patient, but you have to deal with the patient's families. So especially when they are sleeping there and they're living there, and not all families can be pleasant, and not all families understand what goes on in the NICU. And it's hard to understand why they're doing these types of procedures, and it can be traumatic. But the nursing staff, I have made multiple lifelong friends while during our stay. One of his favorite nurses, Nicole, she was amazing with him. Like, she just treated him like he was her own. She loved him. All of the nurses wanted to be with Gavin. They called him the NICU prince. They loved him. They would fight over him when they would come in and their shift would start. I want Gavin. And so, I mean, and part of that, and I, not that I hate to say it, but I don't like to toot my own horn. But one night when the night shift nurses were coming in, and, you know, they do their rounds and with the doctors, and the charge nurse came in to us, and we always had like a movie night. You know, there's not much to do in the NICU, so we just kind of hung out, watched movies. We would rent on like Redbox and whatnot. She came in with a gift bag and a card, and the gift bag had a Redbox gift card, you know, popcorn, candy, and this beautiful card that just said, you know, thank you guys for being so amazing. You guys make our jobs way easier when, you know, you guys are pleasant. And like, so yeah, there were times when I was, you know, you would get frustrated as a parent because, you know, you don't see something happening and whatnot, but at the same time, that's not your job. Yes, you know what's best for your kid, but at the same time, you need to let the doctors and nurses do what they are trained to do, because I don't have a nursing license or degree, or, you know. And I was very confident in them, in everything that they chose. And even when I wanted to suggest something, they listened, because I'm with him every single day. I see how he changes. I saw, like, when he got his trach, he had to be paralyzed for a while. And there was a time when his oxygen wasn't going up, and they had to put him on an oscillator, which was scary. It's a big giant machine that like pumps his chest up and down. It's loud. You know, that was traumatizing to see. And, you know, with him being paralyzed, I was like, this is not right. This is not like him. He didn't have any lung issues. There was nothing, like, the only thing he needed a trach for was for security. So I was really puzzled as to why he needed all this. And I'm like, take him off the paralytic, let him breathe on his own. And so once they started doing that, everything went back to normal. So they weren't like ignorant, and they weren't like, no, I'm going to do it my way. They always listened, and they always took into what we said into account. So I mean, the doctors, all of the doctors, he had a ton of doctors going from plastic surgery to interventional radiology. Anytime we would go, like, interventional radiology would do his sclerotherapy. So we were like their family. They saw us 5 days a week. They came into our room. We were in the radiology office. So they would see us every single day. And, you know, it was just our normal. We saw them every day. They were like family. And just how they, I mean, like I said, I can't rave about them enough. They're just, and it get, like, brings tears to my eyes, because they are so, so special to us. And they all still follow Gavin. When he got out of the hospital, they all came to his first birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's special to see that all of his nurses and whoever could come, you know, obviously not all of them could come because of they work and they need to care for the other babies, but a lot of his nurses and stuff came to his first birthday. So it was really, really cool. And just the resources they have, you know, I talked to a psychologist while I was there, you know, because it can be, you know, you're in you're in a NICU for 7 months and I didn't want to leave. You know, I don't remember what it's called, where I was just like, I never wanted to go out. I was afraid to leave him. After building all of those relationships with the nurses and the doctors, it took me, I want to say, probably after the whole trach and the whole trach incident, when, you know, I said, get him off the paralytic and whatnot, that I was finally okay to leave him for a little bit. So my husband's like, can we please, like, can I take you to a movie? Can we go out for like a little bit? And I'm like, all right, let's go.
That was so nice of you. I'm sure he appreciated that, Coach Joe.
Yeah. So even then, like, the nurses had my phone number, so they would like text me pictures and just to give me peace of mind. So, and they knew, and they would, like, if I went home for the night to get, you know, a good night's sleep without the beeping and the machines and doctors coming in and out, you know, they would take pictures or FaceTime me. So it was more like a family setting with them, and it was just really, really amazing.
Of course, Gavin has an immunocompromised system, but every child in NICU has an immunocompromised system. And with COVID, the experience has to be much different than it was 2.5 years ago now. The freedom of families getting together at the end of the hallways or having other things that they could do. I remember going not just too many months ago that I would go and visit the NICU to families, and things have changed. I know that you probably saw a lot of people from the community come in through organizations that would bring gifts and try to let you know that they cared as well. So sadly, the experience is different right now, but you can share about the kindness and compassion you saw from the community. As I mentioned, I'm a supporter of Project Sweet Peas, which is a national organization that tries to help families in the NICU.
Absolutely. So we had, her name's Annie. She would come and just organize all of these different events for the mom, well, not just for the moms, but for the families of the NICU. And it would just be get out of the room and not to leave the hospital, but we would go on like into the lobby. Sometimes she would have people come out. She would just have like so many different events. What are some? We would make like a vision board. We would do like arts and crafts, make bracelets. She would always do like a Mother's Day and Father's Day event. Any holidays, she would, like, for Christmas, we did Christmas cookies, and for Halloween we did, you know, so she always had something planned. And it was like on a weekly basis that she would do something for us. And it was like a breath of fresh air just to get away from all of the medical side of everything and just kind of do something to connect, even to connect with the other moms. Cause that was something that happened too. There was, I think, 5 or 6 of us. There's 6 of us moms that were in the NICU at the same exact time. And we all became like really close. We would go and eat lunch together and sit in the lobby together. And so not only did that, you know, like the events help us get out of our room, but it helped us form friendships and for us to connect with one another and to talk about, you know, what's going on with our child and, you know, how can we, because not everybody understands, like my normal friends don't understand what's going on in the NICU. So it's hard to talk to them about that type of thing. So being able to connect with other moms and families in the NICU was big for me. And it's funny because they called us the mom squad when we were there. So that was our thing, where we were the mom squad. And, but yeah, like, so appreciative of when outside vendors or even just volunteers come in and, donate, or even their time, like, we had a family that donated pizza every Friday that was in the NICU. So there would be pizza for the whole floor, because they were in the NICU for so long. So it was just something that they pay forward, you know, to make us feel a little bit better. So things like that make a big difference when you're in the NICU. So, and not just the NICU, but any hospital stay, honestly. If you can volunteer, obviously not now with COVID, but get in the hospitals, try to volunteer and make, you know, people smile. I would, you know, that would be my dream job. I told, when we left Miami, I told Annie, I said, man, if I could do what you do, I would totally do it. Just being a NICU mom myself and knowing what the parents are going through. And so that would be, although I'm a teacher right now, so.
Well, you know, the Annies of the world have a tough job right now. What concerns me is thinking about the beautiful connections that you were able to make, just hoping that the families who are in NICU and stuck there for several months are able to make those connections still. I know it's got to be different. Families probably cannot, as I said, get together. You're in your own area. You can't move about. And I'm sure the freedom that you experienced is not the same as it is for those right now. So I am concerned about that. And I do hope that they are able to make those connections. And if somebody's listening right now that's in the NICU, all they have to do is reach out to me, and I'll try to find ways to help them if they aren't getting the connections that they wish that they were, or they have a need that's not getting filled. They can always reach out to me, and I know that you're probably a good person for them to talk to as well, Victoria.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want to reach out to, you can reach out to Gavin's Instagram or my Instagram. It's linked to his, so I'm able to get any type of messages that you send. But any type of advice that you need, any help, just go ahead and message me. I mean, that's honestly what I created his page for, was to help others in the same situation that, or similar situation that I was in. So anytime I can help a family, it's, you know, obviously the only thing I would love to do.
Well, I love that about you, and I hope that you have a great school year. As you said, you were fixing up your classroom when I called, and hope that that works out this year as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, taking every precaution. They have the desk shields up they installed today. It's going to be a wild ride for sure.
Well, we're thinking about all of our teachers, staff, personnel, and students as they make their decisions whether to go back to school, use some type of hybrid, or whether they're doing virtual school. We wish them all the best and want them to know that we care. Hope that they have as great a school year as possible as they move into this next phase. Life has changed for now, but I'm hoping that before too long we can get back to some normalcy.
Absolutely. And I hope, as you parents out there, whatever decision you make with your kids for schooling, whatever it is, it's not the wrong one. Honestly, we're all going through such uncertain times. And the last thing you need is judgment from somebody who disagrees with what you're choosing. The schools are going to do whatever we can to protect your children and, you know, to protect ourselves. Obviously, I have Gavin at home, so I do have to protect myself. So we are taking the precautions, and just be confident in the decision you make. And, you know, it's your decision, so don't feel bad about it.
Thank you so much for mentioning that. That's very important that parents know that. In a very judgmental world, we have to know that we can make these decisions, and it is a personal decision that we have to make. So I appreciate that. And I do want to encourage people to go to the Instagram page, which is Gavin's Medical Adventure, to learn more about lymphatic malformation. This little guy was born February 1st, 2018, now almost 2.5 years old. I know, as I started out this show, he's a great blessing to you, Victoria, and Coach Joe. And I know that he brings a lot of joy to so many people, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Mark White Show today, Victoria.
Thank you for having me and allowing me to raise awareness and to, you know, reach people around the world. I truly appreciate it.
You are most welcome. We want people to continue to find out more about LM, which is lymphatic malformation. And we have a little warrior down in Jacksonville, Florida. His name is Gavin Silvestri. We've had his mom, Victoria Silvestri, on the program today. His dad, Coach Joe, wasn't on the line. Maybe we'll get to talk to him someday. But I encourage you to go to the Instagram page or the Facebook page as we continue to follow Gavin's effort. Talking about a hero. Special kind of hero, hero. No ordinary hero. Talking about a hero. Special kind of hero.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set them in. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Are you in Alabama and need questions answered by a medical professional? If so, my friends at Trinity Medical Care are proud to announce that they are offering telemedicine. With telemedicine, you can stay at home and still have your visit with the doctor. Telemedicine from Trinity Medical Care is now available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make your telemedicine appointment today by calling 256-489-3192. That number again, 256-489-3192. You can also follow Trinity Medical Care on Facebook.
I couldn't read you by the U.S. mail. You didn't leave a very easy trail. I tried the telephone to no avail. Guess who loves you? Somebody loves you.
Hi, it's Dr. April Jones here, author of No Mess, No Message, with a little dose of encouragement. Today, I want to talk to you about being selfish. Now, don't turn the dial, even if you think you might not be selfish or self-centered, because something I say today might just save you a bit of heartache. Being selfish is our natural tendency as humans. We think being guarded and only self-aware, in tune to how we are feeling and what we are comfortable with, protects us from hurt. I actually have a whole chapter in my book about how giving in to this tendency not only hurts others, but in fact can hurt us more. But how, you might ask? I want you to consider how misses can steal your joy. Here's what I mean. When we don't have all the facts, when we aren't aware of our environment, aware of others' opinions and perspectives, if we don't, in all of the facts in our surrounding, have a complete understanding, we set ourselves up for misses. Misunderstanding, misinformation, misinterpretation, misconception, and mistakes. And those misses make us miss out on joy. Yes, it can steal your joy. Especially in today's time, where we have access to so much information and opportunities for interaction. Some of the information we are seeing has been manipulated to persuade our feelings or perception of fact. Some of the messaging only gives a snippet of the whole picture. And we then form an opinion or bias without having all of the context that led up to that event. We may easily take offense to something without knowing the whole story. We may easily take offense to something we don't actually understand or is not even about us. Let me share a tale about two bears, May and June. The bears were buddies and thought they knew each other quite well. One day, May Bear had a call from an old friend asking for advice. After an uplifting conversation, May Bear then posted on social media the advice she gave her friend in hopes that someone else would also find encouragement in the words. June Bear, however, saw the post and misperceived the post as a passive-aggressive poke at her, for which she promptly ended the friendship with May Bear. She threw away a perfectly good friendship because she misinterpreted, did not ask for more information, and made it all about her when it wasn't. How often do we read into things that aren't actually about us? How often do we not take the time to listen to someone else because we jump to a fence? How many times could, in fact, we be encouraged or strengthen relationships when we communicate instead of combat? Sometimes our need to defend ourselves creates enemies needlessly rather than battle existing ones. I have made a decision to refuse to let the misses steal my joy. Now, how can we apply this same principle to help us find joy in the midst of adversity? I'm going to read you a passage from my book about a time when I realized maybe the adversity I was facing wasn't all about me. I was experiencing it, yes, and it was painful to me. But what if there could be purpose that was bigger than me? Tyler, my son, was diagnosed with cancer just before he turned 2 years old and lost his leg as a result. The passage reads, "I learned in my difficulty and how I deal with it may have a larger meaning or purpose. In short, it might not be about me. I realized this when Tyler was about 5 years old. Our prosthetist arranged for Tyler to come in for his appointment at the same time as another new patient came in for his fitting. The child was near his age and a newer amputee due to trauma. This boy had been through a difficult time and was a little reserved. Tyler didn't even notice this child was shy. He just started talking and laughing with him as if they had always been friends. Within an hour, they were hopping down the hall in their underoos having a race. That first time I saw him pull another child out of his shell, I realized something very special was happening. I realized our struggle was not in vain. I had this warm, comforting feeling that Tyler had a purpose for his life that was bigger than him, bigger than me, bigger than his cancer, and bigger than his disability. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Maybe it's not about me. After that, my coping mechanism for every difficult situation involves reminding myself that perhaps my struggle is bigger than me. Maybe it's meant for me to learn something that I will be able to share with someone else in their struggle. Maybe it means that someone needs to be inspired by my strength to get through. Maybe it means that I can make a change through persistence and perseverance that might ensure I prevent someone else the same mistreatment I experienced. Perhaps that someone might not have been able to push through it like me. Maybe I might not see the significance for years or ever, but believing and grasping the hope that the reason is there helps me through. If you are feeling hurt today and you feel it's because someone else hurt you, forgive them. Maybe their intentions were not malicious, or maybe they were a result of their own hurt. If you're feeling hurt today and it's an overwhelming, looming cloud of adversity, Can you find a ray of sunshine poking through? Have you been able to connect with others in a similar situation? Have you mended relationships because of a shared pain? Has it somehow allowed you to realize what's really important in your life? Take this time to identify the misses and get rid of them. Life is too short to miss out on your joy. Be blessed and hold hope out there. Bye for now.
Hi, everybody. This is BJ Thomas, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. You know, raindrops may be falling on your head, but on Kyla's Corner, she's living life sunny side up. Nothing seems to
fit. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Don't take my soul.
Welcome to Kyla's Corner. I'm Kyla Carter, and I hope to inspire you to spread positivity, happiness, and kindness through these segments. I live my life sunny side up, and I hope you can too. Each week, I talk about how I live my life sunny side up. I appreciate the small wins, the little things in life, and always try my best to understand the point of view of others. I try to see every day as a possibility to be the best day of my life. However, we can't always have a good day. We all face difficulty and discouragement. We have all been hurt by unkind words from others. Sometimes we are tired, unhappy, and don't feel well. Sometimes we don't even know why. And sometimes, no matter how badly we want to live sunny side up, there are going to be those days where we are living sunny side down, or even scrambled. The reality is, we all have bad days, and sometimes we have bad weeks, and even bad years. But you can face a bad day with a good attitude. Bad days are short-lived. Happiness is waiting for you just around the corner. Only you have the power to change your mindset. Others can't do this for you. Sometimes you may not want to even get out of bed. But try to find something that makes you happy and help you forge forward when you're feeling bad or overwhelmed. Make a list of what makes you happy. It could be fishing, a favorite movie, a snuggle with your pet, finding a beautiful, calming spot to read a book, listening or singing your favorite song, or maybe even watching a storm pass by. Whatever is your happy, find it, especially on those days that you just can't seem to get out of bed. If you are having a bad day, I want you to know that you are not alone. I've been let down by people I trusted and thought were good friends. I've had huge opportunities taken away from me. And what was most devastating was that a really close friend of mine at only 13 years old passed away less than a year ago. My heart breaks sometimes. We can't be happy all of the time. But we can try really hard to maintain a positive attitude and move forward in the face of adversity. View failures as motivation to overcome the obstacles in your path. Remember the good things in your life. Push forward to do more each day. And always surround yourself with positive people. Only you have the power to change things. Let it hurt, let it heal, and then let it go. Only you have the power to live your life sunny side up. Hi, I'm Kyla Carter, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Stay unique and find a way to make a difference that doesn't just impact you, but impacts others around you. please don't take my sunshine away. Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear that pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. Now I'm not afraid. This rover crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'd be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Make a Difference Minute replay from The Mark White Show. Here we play Make a Difference Minute segments from the past week as we try to make a difference in the lives of others. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Athens Bible School, located in Athens, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from The Mark White Show.
Right now, I have a very special guest from Elkmont, Alabama, and her name is Lindsay Collins. She's 9 years old. The reason I'm talking to Lindsay today is because she's a young entrepreneur, and she is starting a lip balm business. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Lindsay.
Thank you. My idea was to start selling lip balm and making it so I could get money to get toys to go in doctor's offices. I had an idea because I don't want the other patients to get sad and worried.
I asked her why she didn't want to just take the money that she had instead of buying all the stuff to make the lip balms and just buy the toys, and she said she could buy more toys this way.
I was very surprised when she told me about it. At first, I thought she was just wanting to make it for herself, but then she talked about wanting to try to sell it, and then she wanted to take that money and put it towards the doctor's office. I'm very proud of her.
You can email her dad, Nick Collins, by going to nnn205@gmail.com.
Lulu's Lip Balm. It's the bomb.
If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to themarkwhiteshow@gmail.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life today.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Trinity Medical Care, located in Huntsville, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from The Mark White Show.
I'd like to welcome Samuel Barker to The Mark White Show right now.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here. I will have a guest over, preferably around high school or college range. And I'll just ask them questions like, okay, what's your favorite hobbies? What do you like to do during the summer? Generic questions like that. You know, it's not supposed to be like a formal interview. It's supposed to be very informal. And that's why I called it a chat. What a chat. Because when that guest starts speaking, I would like to kind of like throw something back and we can start a whole new conversation. We don't follow off of a list exactly. We would just try to start from somewhere and then go from there. It's called What a Chat! ! At the end. Don't forget about that. That's where you can find all my videos at. Go to any one of those videos that I have posted and look in the description and you'll see, do you want to be a guest on the show? Email whatachat@gmail.com. Email me. I have a Facebook page. It's a What a Chat! ! Right there. Instagram as well. You have What a Chat Show. That's what it's called. That's what the channel is called. Any of these platforms I just listed, which would be Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, message those channels and I'll get back with you.
If you have a suggestion for a Make a Difference Minute, send it to themarkwhiteshow@gmail.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White.
And this is Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life today.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Green's Dependable Hardware, located in Russellville, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from the Mark White Show.
I really wanted to have Stephen, the cancer crusher Davidson, on the show today with me. Stephen has been fighting pre-B cell ALL leukemia since August 2017. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Stephen.
Thank you for having me.
You are a young chef. Tell me about your interest in cooking.
I find cooking very interesting and relaxing. I find it as a stress reliever, and also I just love being in the kitchen.
Did you have somebody in your family who was already cooking and you just watched them and said, I want to give that a shot?
Yeah, that was my mother. She is an amazing cook. Chemo treatment was very hard to go through. It made me nauseous. Like, I did not eat at all unless if it was something my mom cooked. One day, I went into respiratory distress. Let me tell you, that wasn't very pleasant. I had many problems with the chemo.
He went through like a lasagna phase, a pizza phase, everything hot. So it's a nice outlet for him.
You can watch my mini episodes of Chemo Bites at my Instagram page, Stephen the Cancer Crusher.
Well, happy birthday, buddy, and thank you for joining me here on the Mark White Show today.
It was an honor being on here. Thank you for inviting me.
If you have a suggestion for the Make a Difference Minute, send it to themarkwhiteshow@gmail.com. Be sure to follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located in Tuscumbia, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute from The Mark White Show is coming up next. Welcome to another Make a Difference Minute
from The Mark White Show.
Right now, I have on the line with me Tiffany Johns. She is sharing about her daughter, Nevaeh, who is battling Chiari malformation, just 3 years old. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Tiffany.
Thank you. Ever since she was born, I called her not breathing in her sleep. As she grew up, she was starting to complain of headaches. We ended up finally getting a sleep study on her and found out that she did have sleep apnea. They ended up taking her tonsils and adenoids out and redid the sleep study. Found out that she has central sleep apnea where her brain is actually not telling her body to breathe. She's been on a CPAP for a while now. Since she kept having her headaches, I took her to the ER because she started throwing up with her headaches and it just wouldn't stop. They ended up referring us to a neurologist and found that she had Chiari malformation, which means her cerebellar tonsils goes 12 millimeters below her skull and it's pressing on her brainstem. She has crowding of structures on top of an 11 millimeter cyst on her brain. They're hoping after the surgery it'll help it because unfortunately Chiari malformation is something that can never be cured.
Go to Team Nevaeh, N-E-V-A-E-H, and join that group. If you have a suggestion for the Make a Difference Minute, send it to themarkwhiteshow@gmail.com. Be sure to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Trinity Medical Care, located in Huntsville, Alabama. The Make a Difference Minute is coming up next. Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org.
This is Parker and Gimpton, and you are listening to The Mark White Show. Be kind, show compassion, and let others know you care.
Spread a little love before your chance is gone. We may never see tomorrow anyway. Let's all do something good today. Oh, you hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good.